But they've all got.
Whoa!
The spaghetti's good, isn't it? Do you like spaghetti?
It's the dinner hour at the Martin home in Highland Lakes, just south of Birmingham. Tracy and Mike Martin and their five children gather around the large oak table. Jake is 11 years old, big brother to four-year-old quadruplets, Adam, Sam, Gabriel, and Sophia. Two of the quads have autism, but Mom Tracy believes they can recover from it with the help of a good diet and vitamin supplements. The kids gobble up gluten-free and casein-free spaghetti and meat sauce. Gluten and casein are proteins found in wheat, rye, oats, barley, and dairy products. The Martin children can't digest those proteins. Martin says it was affecting their behavior.
We first started the diet with them probably about a year and a half ago, and we started off first doing taking out the dairy. And we noticed he started talking. And Gabriel stopped, he would just, his eye contact improved.
Sam is mildly autistic. His mother is encouraged by the improvement she sees. Gabe is developmentally behind his brothers and sister. He communicates through hand signals because he's still not talking. But he, too, has responded to the new diet.
He used to wake up at night wanting milk and everything, almost like craving it. He started sleeping better at night, and just his whole demeanor and everything changed with the milk. And then gradually, as we started changing with the gluten and the wheat products and things like that, and dyes and nitrates, we saw great improvement. I mean, the diagnosis hasn't been reversed, but there definitely has been improvement.
Would you say that autism can be reversed?
I can tell you that I only know personally of one case where autism was reversed. And in fact, I was the one who made the initial diagnosis and then actually reversed the diagnosis.
Caroline Gomez is the co-director of the Auburn Autism Center at Auburn University. Dr. Gomez initially made the diagnosis when the child was almost 2 years old. She then did not see the boy for a period of 10 months. During that time, the child's mother provided biomedical intervention. She sought to remove toxins from her son's bloodstream and instill metabolic and nutritional balance. Gomez reevaluated the child.
And was very hesitant, I might add, because I've never been asked to reevaluate an individual. I did after much persuasion. And it was the longest evaluation I've ever done because I was really not sure what to do with the information I had. In fact, he did not meet any of the criteria for autism anymore, and that was very startling to me. Knowing that autism has a genetic component, it would stand to reason that autism could not be recovered from.
Such a dramatic turnaround has forced Gomez to reconsider what doctors have long believed about autism.
We have to wonder, though, does that mean that we have a subgroup of children who don't, in fact, have the genetic component? However, based on their mercury poisoning or environmental toxin exposure, actually have symptoms that mimic autism. And so we may indeed have a subgroup of autism, children with autistic-like behaviors who actually receive a diagnosis of autism who might not actually have autism.
The number of autism cases has increased 500% or more since the early 1990s. That's a staggering increase that some attribute to better or perhaps more liberal diagnosis criteria. Some researchers wonder whether increased exposure to mercury through the environment and childhood vaccines is to blame. It's known that mercury can cause birth defects, including retardation and learning disorders. It can also damage the brain and kidneys. There's no proven link between autism and thimerosal, the mercury-containing organic compound widely used as a preservative in vaccines. In fact, it's a hotly debated topic in autism research. But scientists continue to examine it, and the Food and Drug Administration is working with vaccine manufacturers to reduce or eliminate thimerosal from vaccines. The Autism Research Institute says physicians who have been working with autistic children have reported, quote, extremely good results in improving the health and behavior of autistic children when the mercury in the children's bodies were removed by a systematic process of detoxification, unquote. The key issue, the younger the child is when you start detoxification and dietary changes, the better.
Nope, not any at all.
Could I get you to sign that real quick?
At the Wellness Pharmacy in Homewood, people needing dietary supplements, vitamins, and other products flow through the front doors.
I would say 60 to 70% of the parents that come in here have seen a dramatic improvement in behavior and verbalization, socialization, with some just diet alone.
Angie Chatwood is a certified compounding pharmacist.
The reason, and it's not in all children, but many of the autistic children first lack the enzymes to break down certain food groups, such as dairy or wheat.
Studies have shown that the inability to break down certain foods may affect neurological processes in some children, causing autistic behavior. Medical professionals in England and Norway have performed tests on children with autism. They discovered that half the children do not break down gluten and casein proteins completely into amino acids. In most of us, undigested proteins or peptides are eliminated harmlessly in the urine. However, in some autistic children, a few peptides enter the bloodstream. Unbroken peptides entering into the bloodstream may cause abnormal brain development and create an opiate-like effect. The opiates depress the activity of the nervous system.
If you aren't digesting these certain foods the way that you're supposed to, then you're getting undigested food deep in the intestine where it's not meant to be, and it can serve as a food source for different microbial or parasitic or fungi-type bugs, and that's where you get a lot of the gut problems with the kids. So diet is very, very important.
Specialists who treat autistic kids say diet does help kids in varying degrees, but ultimately, children with the disorder need traditional educational training. Jennifer Muller is the executive director of the Autism Society of Alabama.
It seems like there's an underlying group of kids that probably has some kind of medical problem with their gastrointestinal system or some other system. And some of those children, when the dairy and the wheat are removed from their diets, that's the gluten-free, casein-free diet that people will talk about, one of the first tier biomedical interventions. Sometimes those children will maybe be able to pay attention better, not have as many behavioral, you know, episodes, that kind of thing. So that may help them then when they're doing the traditional type treatment. But that's not the majority of kids.
Dr. Matthew Remick is the executive director of Mitchell's Place, a comprehensive autism treatment center located near Liberty Park in Birmingham.
The one thing I think about when families do come in and ask, should we try this, if it's something that I don't think is going to be harmful for the child, and I don't think these biomedical approaches nor the diets are going to be harmful for the child, I will say, yes, I would try it. Maybe your child is going to be one of the responders.
Remick says doctors recommend parents strictly follow the diet for 4 to 6 weeks. If no improvement is noticed, the child is unlikely to respond to the biomedical approach. Tracy Martin expects she'll eventually wean her children off the restrictive diet. Next month, she'll try to detoxify her children of the excess metals in their bodies when they are chelated. Chelation is a process in which an IV draws out excessive metals in the body. For now, though, it makes good sense to her to keep a close watch on what her children eat. For WBHM, I'm Donna Francavilla.